they tell me they want to record this. So it'll pick up a whole lot better if I'm up here. So I hope you won't think that I'm being too formal by standing up here, because I really want to be right down there with you, but maybe another time. You can be a real help to me this evening. You say, what do you mean? Well, I came to your fair city feeling fine, but about 2 days ago, right about here, it began to feel like a blast furnace. And that's cooled off, but now this feels like a balloon. And you know what it is to have a head cold. So if you can just give me your best attention for the minutes that we're going to look at God's Word, that'll be a big, big help to me. And that'll really answer a prayer of mine this evening. One of those evenings, you know, when it's rainy outside, at least it was a little while ago, and do you know it's rainy inside? Because my last name is Rainy. What do you think of that? How about that? Well, we have something that I hope will whet your appetite. And I want to read a few verses from God's Word and take you to a chapter that I think is a great, great chapter in the Bible. And it's found in the Old Testament in a book by the name of Proverbs. How many have heard of the book of Proverbs? Oh, good. All right. You can put your hand down. Do you know what I do sometimes? Sometimes when a month starts, and tomorrow a new month starts, April. April Fool's Day. Well, I'm glad it's not April Fool's Day today, because you could be pulling all kinds of tricks this evening. However, tomorrow is the beginning of a month. And of course, April has 30 days. Proverbs has 31 chapters. And so you'll have to double up on a chapter. But once in a while, I'll take a month, maybe like the month of March. Now it's almost past. And with 31 days, I'll read a chapter a day. And you know, there's an old saying that says, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Well, a chapter a day will keep the devil at bay. You can be sure of that. It'll help you to live for Christ if you know the Lord by reading a chapter a day from God's Word. And I like to take this book of Proverbs that has so much to tell us, so much to say to us. I have lived in cities that have big zoos. I don't know whether York has any kind of zoo at all. No. They have some monkeys in York, I know that. But I was born and raised in New York City. And there's a big, big zoo known as the Bronx Zoo. Bronx is one of the five boroughs of New York City. And even in the borough of Brooklyn, where I was born and raised, they had in Prospect Park a big zoo. Not like the Bronx Zoo, but still it was a nice zoo. And then some years ago, I used to live in St. Louis, Missouri. And I think St. Louis, Missouri has the best zoo in the world, at least that I have ever seen. And it's still free. And they had a chimpanzee show. They had an elephant show and a lion and tiger show. And if you got there at the right time, you could get in on all three of them if it was the right day. It was a lot of fun. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed taking my children there. Now, God has made all these animals, all these creatures. And I want to speak from the Bible about four of the little creatures that he has made. So let's read about them, and then we'll have a few things to say about them. Now this is found in Proverbs chapter 30. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to the book of Proverbs, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. And if you see Ecclesiastes, you know you've gone too far. Head back toward Proverbs. Chapter 30. And I'll start at verse 24. There are four things, says the Lord, which are little upon the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. Now, you're going to be wise, young people, if you listen to what the Lord has to say to you about these wise little creatures. Now, here they are. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Okay, we've got four little creatures. The ant and the coney, we'll say a little bit about that creature in a minute, and the grasshopper, or locust, we know it better as the grasshopper, and then the spider. Notice that God says these are little creatures. You know, little things, young people, are so important, and they can be so big. Do you realize that Napoleon lost a military battle one time because he ate an unripe peach? He got a tummy ache. And something happened that this caused him to lose a battle. And then the Scots, in their history, people from Scotland, way back in their history, they were warring, and I learned in their history that they lost a battle because they ran out of matches. And then there's a news commentator that some of you have listened to. I've heard him since I've been here in York. I finally found, when I was making my lunch the last 2 days, where he is on the dial. His name is Paul Harvey, and he's a Christian man. He's a man who knows and loves the Lord Jesus, and he's on the ABC network. He's heard all over the country, and I like to listen to him because there's no news commentator quite like Paul Harvey. And I remember him telling about the great super chief train that goes from Chicago right on down to Houston, Texas. And I think goes on even, maybe at least makes connections for California. But do you know, one time when this little, well, this big train, really, was moving along the tracks at a great speed, in the distance, the engineer spied a light. And the light was red, and he had never experienced that before at that particular point, because he was really headed down the tracks, going lickety-split for Texas. But the light was red, and the train had to stop. He had to stop that mighty super chief passenger train. And there they were. Well, do you know what really happened? When some people got there to find out, well, now, why did this light turn red? Would you believe that a little ant got into the mechanism and actually was the cause of that mechanism changing the light, causing it to turn red, and stopping that fast, streamlined super chief train? So little things can be very important, and sometimes they can be very big things. Any one of us can go along the sidewalk and we see an ant and step on it. They used to tell me, you step on an ant, it'll rain. Well, I don't believe that, but I used to think about it when I was a grown down, and
He wondered if there was anything to it. I know now that there isn't anything to it. You're much bigger than an ant. But God says, look, here's this little creature that I've made, and there's a real lesson. Now notice what the lesson is. It's the lesson of preparation. You had to make, I don't know how much you did along this line, but you had to make some kind of preparation to be here this evening. And so did I. And I had to make preparation in regard to what I was going to say to you from God's Word this evening. And about this time last week, it just seems that when I get ready to go away on a trip and come to a place like York, things snowball and there's just so much to do. So much to get ready. So much to prepare for. But, thankfully, I was able to get everything pretty well in order before I left home, and yet there were a lot of preparations. Now, we read about the ant, and God says here that they're just a feeble folk. They're not strong, but here's the lesson. They prepare their food in the summer. Why? Because there's a winter to come. When they can't go out and find food as they do in the summer. Now, God tells us that you only have one life down here. I only have one life down here, young people. And it's so important that we prepare for eternity to come. There's a judgment to come. Everyone is going to give account to God. And someday you're going to stand before Him. Now, what you need to do is make preparation to stand before Him and know that you will be received by Him into His house and into His heaven and be with Him for all eternity. And the way you do that is in this life, receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Jesus Christ is the one who came into this world to be your Savior and my Savior. And we read that God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I spoke on that verse last Sunday. That really is my favorite verse, and the verse from the Bible that God used more than any other to bring me to Christ, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever, that means you, it means me, it means anyone and everyone, believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And if you're going to spend eternity in heaven, and if you're going to be received into the presence of God with joy, then you must receive Jesus Christ, God's Son, as your Savior. He shed His blood, He suffered, He died for you and me on the cross of Calvary. And He rose again. He's alive at God's right hand, and He's coming back again. Way back in the history of Israel, there was a man, a prophet, by the name of Amos. And Amos told the people of Israel, prepare to meet thy God. I don't see that statement as often as I used to. But I can remember when I was your age and older, being in Ontario, Canada, going along a highway, and there'd be a farmer's field, and someone had painted on a big rock so that those driving their cars could see it in big white letters, prepare to meet thy God. And everybody that passed by there would be made to think about God and about the fact that they need to get ready to meet God. And oh, I hope and pray, we who know Christ this evening, hope and pray that you're ready to meet God. If not, get ready. And you can do that right this evening by receiving God's Son as your Savior. The Boy Scouts of America, I think they still have the same motto. I'm not aware that it's changed. The motto is just two words. Be prepared. And it's a good motto. It's a good slogan. And you need to be prepared to meet God. You need to be prepared for eternity. And God has done everything He possibly can to provide what we need. And it's there for us to take, to receive. But in personal faith, you've got to do that from your heart and receive God's gift as your Savior and be prepared by receiving Him. Prepared to go into eternity. Prepared to meet God. And oh, it's a sad thing when I think of people this very evening throughout this world going out of this life not prepared. Not having Jesus Christ as their Savior. God says in His Word, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And it's a great thing, boys and girls, to receive the Lord Jesus when you're young. Don't put it off. When you receive Him as a young person, 8 or 9 or 10, or even a little younger, a little older, then you've got a whole life to give over to Him. We don't particularly like to have ants crawling on us or anything like that, and yet when I look at the little ant, I try to remember the lesson that God has. You know, the ant also teaches us that we're not to be lazy. We can't work for our salvation. But our salvation works. Once we've received Christ, then we can busy ourselves in the service of our Lord. And I learn from the ant that he's a busy little creature. Not a lazy leg on him. And the Bible says to the lazy man, you go and you look at the ant and you take some lessons from him. But the first and foremost lesson, young people, is this lesson of preparation. I used to live in Florida. When I went to university after high school days, I went to college in Florida. My folks had moved there. And we were out in the country, a place called Mount Plymouth in north central Florida. Well, now, if you've ever been to Florida, and particularly if you've ever been to the country, Florida's kind of a buggy place. It's got some snakes, too. I saw those. And we had some trouble around our house for quite a while. We had a plague of aunts and uncles, too. And I'd go to the drawer and I'd try to get some fresh clothes, maybe a t-shirt, and I'd pull out a t-shirt and here it would have ants crawling around on it. And at nighttime, I'd go and I'd pull down the bed covers and I'd look and there were some ants in the bed. You'd go to put some sugar in your coffee or whatever, and in the sugar bowl, a few ants had gotten in there. And they were just everywhere. Finally, we had to call someone and get some professional help to get rid of those pesky ants. And yet, whenever I saw them, I tried to remember, hey, there's a lesson here. And it's the lesson of preparation. And it's the lesson that God has given to us about the ant, that he's a worker. He's a busy little creature. I spoke about the Bronx Zoo. I remember going there as a boy. And they have an exhibit, at least they did, of an anthill. And in this case, this big case, they had cut an anthill right in half. And through the glass, you could see just how they make their home. Just what they do. And it was fascinating to see all the little tunnels and how they would store food, where they would put it, what they would be doing. And they were always busy, as the Word of God says. And it was a most interesting thing to me. So the next time you see an ant, you remember what God has to say about this little creature. And the lesson is the lesson of preparation. Well, now let's look at the second creature, because we've got 4 of them, and we want to move along and not keep you too long. the conies are but a feeble folk. In other words, they're not strong either. A little stronger than the ants. And the Lord goes on to say, they make their houses in the rocks. Now, young people, this speaks to me of the lesson of protection. I have never seen a coney. I have seen an artist's sketch of a coney. And they're, I guess the best way that I can maybe have you get an idea of what a coney was like, I'm told that they were not unlike a rabbit. We all know what rabbits are like. I'm thinking now of an average-sized bunny or rabbit. They were a furry little creature. They used to be all over the land of Israel. When I was in Israel 8 years ago, or almost 8 years ago, I never saw any. But they had them there at one time. And we're told, very especially by God, that they made their home in the rocks. I mentioned on Sunday that I used to work on a farm. I spent some time on a farm for many, many summers. And there's a little creature, and I guess you have them, plenty of them in Pennsylvania. Excuse me, we have them in Michigan. We have woodchucks or groundhogs. And oftentimes, in fact, more often than not, in Canada, on Mr. Orr's farm where I was, the woodchucks would make their homes in a pile of rocks. And I used to think about the coney when I'd see Mr. Woodchuck, Mr. Groundhog, there on Mr. George Orr's farm. They used to make a mess of his fields, too, at times, if there were enough of them. But here was the lesson, that when danger came, I've seen many a groundhog, many a woodchuck scurry to its home in the rocks when they sense danger, when they sense me approaching. Now, I don't know whether it's true about the coney, but the groundhog can whistle. Many a time I've heard a groundhog whistle, and that's a warning to the other groundhogs that danger is near and you'd better get to your house under the ground and in many instances in the rocks. Now the Lord says that as to the coney, he made his home in the rocks. And you know, I think of the Psalms in particular. I was looking at this earlier. And the psalmist tells us a lot about the rock of our salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ. My, what a wonderful Savior, what a wonderful, so great salvation we have in him. He's our protector. He's our defense. He's our refuge. Yes, and he's our rock. And I was looking, for instance, at Psalm 18, verse 2, wherein David says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." But the very first thing he says, "The Lord is my rock." And then I went along to Psalm 40. And in Psalm 40, we read these words. David is the writer of this psalm, and he says concerning God, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." There's a hymn in your hymn book. I purposely looked it up. If I'd thought of it earlier, when Mr. Logan asked if I had anything we might want to sing, I would have asked him to sing that, but it's that little chorus, "I'm on the rock, hallelujah, I'm on the rock to stay, glory, hallelujah, for he lifted me from the miry clay, I'm on the rock to stay." I love these words. It's a wonderful testimony that David gives here. Let me just work in a little message here within my message. David was brought up. He says here he was brought out of an horrible pit out of the miry clay. And you see, young people, this is what the testimony is of every sinner saved by God's grace. We've been brought up out of the horrible pit of sin, out of the miry clay of sin. And we've not only been brought up because Christ came down and sought us and died for us and shed his blood on the cross, but we've been set up. He says here, and set my feet upon a rock. And then I'm one that's held up. He establishes our goings. And then he's one that's tuned us up as well. We read here, and isn't it nice to be able to come and sing? One thing about Christians, they're folk that sing. God has given us a new song in our mouths, as we're told here, even praise unto our God. So it's a wonderful thing that we're brought up and we're set up and we're held up and we're tuned up, all by the grace of God. And then I was thinking of Psalm 62. And these are just a few of the references, by the way, in the Psalms about the rock. But in Psalm 62, David, again, the writer of this psalm, says, referring to the Lord God, he only is my rock. And notice, my rock. Salvation, young people, is an individual matter. I can't choose Christ for you. I can't make that decision for you. You've got to receive the Lord Jesus into your life. And you have to will to come to him as he talks to you and speaks to you and tells you, yes, this is what you need to do. And I want you to do it. And he just wants to draw you to himself this very evening and have you receive him. All right, David says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Then we move along, and in verse 6, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. And then he says, I shall not be moved. And then in verse 7, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. Young people, older ones, I pray that that's your testimony this evening. That your refuge is in the rock, Christ Jesus. Okay, the ant, that tells me of preparation. The need to be saved, the need to be ready to meet God. And now in Christ also, we have him who is the rock of our salvation, one to whom we can always go, one in whom we can always find that refuge and protection and defense that we need in this world, which is enemy territory as far as the Christian is concerned. But God has left us here to shine for Christ and to be luminaries like the stars in the heavens on a dark night, to be luminaries to shine for him, not to whine, but to shine. And to let our light shine for him, to make Christ known and tell others of what he's done for us. Okay, we got two more to go. The locusts, or I'll just say the grasshoppers, have no king. Yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. Again, on the farm in the summer, oh, I can just see hundreds and hundreds of grasshoppers. I can remember walking along in certain fields, and as I walked along, I would disturb hundreds of grasshoppers at a certain time of the year. Now, I've never seen a plague of grasshoppers, but I've seen pictures where a regular cloud of grasshoppers, just like a cloud in the sky, would come along, and they see a nice, juicy farmer's field ready to be harvested. And they come along, and in a matter of an hour or so, they've stripped everything that's green and good, and then they go on to the next place they can find. Now, that's pretty hard on Mr. Farmer when that happens. And we're told here, they have no particular leader. Aha, but where is their strength? They stick together. They go forth by bands, we're told. And I like to think of the lesson of power. Here's a little creature. And in and of itself, a grasshopper can't do very much. But when they get together, and by the millions, unite to descend on Mr. Farmer's field, I'll tell you, they can really do a job on it. And that's why Christians need to stick together. And young people, as we stick together, oh, you say, well, I can't do very much. Well, that may be true. I've often thought that, and I still think it. I can't do very much in myself. I'm just one sinner saved by God's grace. But I tell you, as we band together with others of God's people, He can make us a power for God. Why, there's enough young people right here. If you get saved and go on for God, or if you are saved and you make it a point to stick together with other believers in the Lord Jesus, there's no telling to what extent the Lord may make your lives a power for Him in York, Pennsylvania, in your school, in your neighborhood, in your home, and right here in this chapel. But we need to stick together and work together and pray together and listen to God's word together, banding together and being a power for God. And then finally, the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Think of that. As a boy, 8 years old, and I'll never forget it as long as I have memory of anything down here, I was in England with my grandparents. And I saw the changing of the guard. I've been at Trafalgar Square. I've ridden on those double-decker buses. And even though I was eight, I still remember it. And I fed the pigeons along the Thames River. And I sure enjoyed riding on those British trains, a lot different from our trains. And then I went to Hyde Park, and I stood right before Buckingham Palace. But you know they didn't invite me in. Think of that. I'd come all the way from Brooklyn, New York, and they never invited me in. And I remember that day, I can still remember this big Rolls Royce pulling up at a side entrance. I was kept out by a big iron fence, but I can still see that big car, and I guess some important people came out of the side entrance of the palace at that particular park, and they got into that Rolls Royce, and away they went. I have stood before a king's palace, but I never got in. But I'm told that this little creature, the spider, is in king's palaces. She taketh hold with her hands. Florida. For some reason or other, I go back to Florida. Do you realize that on occasion, I have seen a spider in Florida? And I don't have too big a hand. I'm not a very big fellow. But I have seen a spider in Florida as big as my hand, and that is not exaggerating. I'm not telling you any fib when I tell you that I have seen a spider that big in the house of my father and mother. And it was kind of scary. How would you like that thing in bed with you? Well, you see, spiders even get into preachers' homes, into the home of George and Ruth Rainey. And we saw all kinds of spiders. And of course, they have them on farms and everywhere and in King's Palace. Now, this suggests to me the lesson of progress. The spider takes hold with her hands and is found even where I have never been. And I don't know of anybody else here. Maybe you have been. I shouldn't say that. But anyone been in a king's palace, queen's palace here? Anyone? Aha, I was right. No one. But spiders are there. And here's the lesson of progress. And oh, it's so wonderful, young people, that if you know the Lord, then the Lord has it as his design, it's his purpose that you grow. Remember what Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18? But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He wants you to make progress in your Christian life, to become more like Christ, to use those hands and that head and our feet just to give over our whole body, our tongue, our ears, everything about us to him. And he'll take us and he'll use us. I think of a little lad, and again, he was a little lad, probably about 12 years old, maybe a little younger. He had a lunch. And we're told how the Lord Jesus, in John 6, used that lunch. But first of all, that little lad had to be willing to give over that lunch to the Lord Jesus. And remember, it was through Andrew, who told the Lord Jesus about the lad and his lunch, that the lad gave over his lunch to the Lord. We don't know much about Andrew. I think he was a very, very personable man. He kind of is almost totally overshadowed by his big brother Peter. But still, Andrew to me is a very important person. And there's one thing I glean about Andrew, one thing I understand about Andrew. He must have been a very persuasive person. Have you ever tried to talk a boy out of his lunch? Andrew did. Andrew talked to that boy and said, "Now, my master, the Lord Jesus, has need of that lunch if you're willing to give it to him." And how he talked him out of it, I don't know, but the boy just willingly gave it over to the Lord Jesus. And you know what he did? He fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, with those 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And I think it's a fair guesstimate to say that there must have been 15,000 people at that particular place that day. How about having 15,000 unexpected guests for dinner? Well, the Lord Jesus, that was no problem to him. This little lad gave over his lunch to the Lord Jesus, and by his creative power, he multiplied that lunch to all those people, and they were fed, and there were even 12 baskets of fragments left over. Think of it. Our Lord, when he does things in a wonderful way, as he did that day. Now, this was a little lad with a little lunch, but he just gave it all over to the Lord. And we see what the Lord did with it. And you may think, "Well, I don't have anything much at all to give over to the Lord." That's true. Neither do I. But if we'll just be willing to give what he's given us over to him, there's no telling what he'll do with it and what kind of progress you'll be able to make in your life for his glory and the blessing of all kinds of people if you'll just give yourself over to him. Okay, let me wrap it up. The ant tells us of our need to prepare to meet God, just as the ant in the summertime, while there's yet time, because there's a long winter coming, he prepares his food. We need to be prepared to meet God, and the way you get prepared to meet God is receiving his Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, I just hope and pray if there's a boy or girl, a young person here tonight, and you've never received the Savior, will you do that now? I was 8 years old when I received the Savior in a meeting something like this, except it was a tent meeting in the summertime, not a building like this. And I didn't tell anyone at that particular meeting that evening, but later that week I did. And oh, it would just be such an encouragement, such a thrill, such a great thing if some young person right here this evening would receive the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her Savior. And then the coney makes its home in the rocks. The Lord Jesus is not only our Savior, but he's also our protector, our defense, the rock of our salvation, on whom we've been established, as David said in Psalm 40. And then the grasshopper. Nothing in and of itself, weak, feeble, but when they get together, they do a job. And as we stick together, and I believe, young people, we're living in days and living in times when we've just got to stick together. Oh, I think of people tonight in Europe, in Romania, in Czechoslovakia, in Hungary, in Russia, people who know and love the Lord Jesus, and they're going through hard, hard times, but they're sticking together. And as a result, they're a power for God. Oh, they're suffering. And we may have the same thing come to this country. And if it does, may the Lord help us all the more to stick together and to work together and to testify together, to worship together, and be a power for the living and true God and for His Son, Jesus Christ. And finally, we have the spider that takes hold with her hands. Yes, and she's found in king's palaces. And this suggests to me the lesson of progress, the lesson of growing in the Lord and going on for Him and glowing on for Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word and for these little creatures whom Thou hast created and brought before us as object lessons to convey, to communicate to our hearts and minds spiritual lessons that are so important. We thank Thee for these boys and girls, for each person here this evening. We thank Thee for their attention to Thy word. And we just ask now that the Spirit of God will take that word and apply it to hearts. And oh, if there are any here this evening that have never fallen in love with Christ, they've never received Thy Son, we pray that such will do that right now, knowing that as many as received Christ, to them gave He the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. And then help us, our Father, to know more and more, practically speaking, of what it is to make our home on the rock Christ Jesus, to know Him as our defense and protector and preserver. We thank Thee for the security, the safety that we have in Him, as well as the salvation that is ours in Him. And then we thank Thee for the power that we can be here in this world as under Thy good hand we band together and unite and seek to carry out Thy will in accord with Thy word as to our witness in this world. And we do pray that Thou wilt help us to be that kind of power as we see illustrated in the grasshoppers, and that Thou wilt enable us, our Father, to be channels of blessing through which Thou canst work, so that through us many will be pointed to Christ, and that Thy people will be built up and blessed and strengthened and comforted and cheered. Then, Father, we thank Thee for the lesson that we have in the spider. And we long that each one of us might become more and more mature, that we might grow up more fully in the things of Christ and thus become more like Him and come into the fullness of the stature of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Help us to grow then in His grace and knowledge. Dismiss us now with Thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety, and again we thank Thee for being together, and pray now Thy continued care, asking these things with thanksgiving in our Lord Jesus Christ's name.